So today in the liturgical calendar, it is known as Ascension Sunday, which is why we had a reading from Acts at the beginning. And it's the day we celebrate and remember Jesus going back up into heaven after he spent 40 days with his disciples after being resurrected. Before he returned to heaven, he promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is then reported in Acts chapter 2 and is what is often celebrated next Sunday for Pentecost. I actually get the joy of preaching on Pentecost at Gettysburg Church of the Brethren next Sunday. If any of you have been following Pastor Joel on Facebook, you will know that he has been there both today and last Sunday, so no pressure following him. But that's okay. So as I was preparing and choosing my scripture for that sermon, I ran into this chapter in Numbers 11, with Moses and the power of the Spirit being given to him and shared to the elders. And as I was preparing that sermon and working with that scripture, I thought there was enough meat in that sermon to get two sermons out of it, which is why I chose for that to be for this Sunday. But I still feel that it's appropriate on Ascension Sunday, because as Jesus is leaving his disciples, how do you think his disciples felt? Abandoned? Sad? Kind of this, frightened? Grieving. And so with that, there's this promise of the Holy Spirit coming to help in some way with that grief, help in some way just to give them some aspect of comfort. And so what I'm kind of focusing on here to an extent is the comfort of God's Spirit and the comfort of how God's Spirit shared among many helps lighten all of our loads and helps give us all a little sense of relief. So that's the kind of the focus for this scripture. So it's this interesting story about Moses. Moses has led, at this point, has led the people out of Egypt, and they are in the wilderness. Now, how long did they get to spend in the wilderness? How many years? 40 years. And during that time, God provided them with food. He provided them with manna as their main source of sustenance for 40 years, week after week, day after day. And so in this part of the scripture, the people are complaining to Moses. I don't know exactly where we are within these 40 years, but it's been a substantial amount of time that has passed. And they're going to Moses going, "We want meat." I don't know that I even go a day without eating some form of meat. But they're going, "We are so tired of this manna. We want meat. Can you please just, we are not happy. Can you please do something for us?" And so their complaints are getting louder and louder. And they are getting frustrated to the point that they are remembering back to the time that they were in Egypt as slaves, remembering happily as to how they would eat fish and they would eat cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. And now they have lost their appetite altogether and they don't want to see manna ever again. Moses goes to God and says, "God, I can't do this anymore." If any of you remember the story about Moses and the people of Israel, this is a common theme. God does this miracle through Moses and breaks them out of slavery. And very quickly, what do they do? They complain. And they do something that is not so good, and they get some consequence that happens either from God or from whatever it is that they did. There's a punishment. And then God provides, which they see as a miracle. They're all excited. And then what do they do then? They complain again. And so they're in this cycle. So poor Moses is leading them through this cycle. So finally he's like, "God, I can't do it anymore. Why have you brought this trouble on me? I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go and kill me now if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." I'm going to pause there in the story. When I read this, it caused me to stop and pause. If you are familiar with this story, Moses is considered this amazing character within the Old Testament, this amazing prophet, follower of God, and yet here he is, completely beat down, going to God saying, "Take me now." It's easy to think about these famous people in the Bible as these heroes who are above and beyond the challenges that we face in the day to day. And yet this moment of Moses going to God in his most vulnerable state, it shows that he is human, just like each and every one of us, that he has struggles just like each and every one of us. Now, while I think there's a sermon to be had in all of the complaining from all of the people from Israel, I'm not going to focus on that for this morning. I'm going to focus on Moses' struggle throughout all of this and God's response to his struggle. You are going to get a 3-point sermon here. I don't typically do 3 points, but if you like to take notes, that might make it easy for you to take notes. The very first point, Moses asked for help. Moses went to God and said, "God, I can't do this anymore. I cannot bear this burden alone." And as I said, he was probably the most vulnerable that he had ever been. Are we willing to ask for help when we are feeling overwhelmed? Or do we feel as though we have to carry it all on our own? Yes, we need to ask for God for help, but are we also willing to ask other people for help? As fulfilling as parenting is, I can say it is equally exhausting. I love Jude. I love the time that I have with Jude. But one of my favorite moments is at the end of the day when Cody walks through that door and we get to share the load of parenting. When one of us is busy either on a Saturday, like I was as I worked on the sermon, or our schedule calls for a meeting in the evening, the other one picks up the extra slack. But we can feel it, especially if it happens for several days in a row. And so when the other person is able to come back and parent with the other person, we feel this relief. I honestly don't know how single parents do it. I don't know how parents do it when a spouse is deployed. And I don't know how parents do it whenever they work on opposite schedules. I know you do what you have to do to get by. But I think that those are the moments that the phrase, "it takes a village," really helps each other out. It's so necessary because parents need a break, and the village helps share that load and share the burden. But we quite often just say it takes a village in response to raising kids. But the village isn't just for children. We should all surround ourselves with a village to help us share the burden of different aspects of life. And we should not be afraid to call on our village. In the story with Moses, when he went to God in need, God's response was for Moses to call on his village. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone." We are not meant to carry the burden on our own. Now, I am going to look directly at the men in the room for a moment. There are jokes that if a man is driving and gets lost, Will he ask for directions? Or if you are putting together a piece of furniture, are you going to use the manual? While these jokes are stereotypes, these bleed over into bigger problems. In our society, men are stereotyped as being strong and independent. And therefore, asking for help can be interpreted as being weak. I don't think it's being weak, but it can be interpreted that way. So often, men will not ask for help even when they need it because they do not want to be seen as weak. And an area where this is common is in issues around mental health. Women are far more likely to see a doctor and ask for help when they are having mental health issues than men. In general, women are, in our society, more okay with talking about their emotions and their feelings, and it is more okay by our societal standards for women to go ask for help. For men, this does not mean that they are not having mental health issues. It means that they are not seeking treatment. The result is that they may self-medicate, which may lead to substance abuse. They may develop maladaptive coping mechanisms, or things may become so severe that they reach the same point that Moses is in this story. I'm going to say that Moses at this point in his struggle is having a mental health issue. Moses is one of the most prominent people in the Old Testament, and yet he was at a breaking point and goes to God and says, I cannot carry this burden alone. And God provided help to carry the burden. If you are feeling that you are having issues with your mental health, please ask for help. Yes, of course you should ask God, but God has also put people on this earth to help care for each other. God has put people on this earth whose specialty is helping those with mental health issues, with either through medication, therapy, spiritual direction, through giving our support, guiding people to the resources that they need, or even holding each other in prayer. And it may take the support of multiple people in these different roles. And that's our village that we can rely on. One other note I do want to say about mental health. As you know, I'm a psychology professor, so this may not come as a shock, but I wholeheartedly support people seeking help through either therapy or medication, in addition to growing and developing their spiritual walk with God. However, I have heard people say that mental health conditions are a result of a weak relationship with God, and if you just pray harder, then you would be better. I would never want anyone to feel that way. Moses goes to God when he is at his lowest point. Does God pour more spirit into Moses? Does God say, well, you need to come back more and more with me. You need to come closer to me. Instead, God pours his spirit into other people to help Moses carry the load. Carry the burden. There are biological and environmental causes of mental health issues. And so various forms of treatment are appropriate. But I want to use a different example. If someone breaks their arm, would you just say, pray harder and God will fix it? God has given us tools to fix an arm. God has given us tools to help when people are having a mental health issue. So while it is within God's power and control to perform miracles and fix a broken arm, that's not the main course of action and treatment. And it is okay for mental health conditions to be treated the same way that we would those physical conditions. when we look back at Moses. Moses went to God and said, I cannot carry this burden alone, and God told him to gather 70 elders. Not 70 people, but 70 elders. 70 people that Moses felt embodied wisdom and deserved respect. It was 70 elders that Moses was told to bring to God to help carry the load. A couple questions within this point. First of all, are we willing to step up and help other people carry the load? And are we living lives that are deemed worthy as being elders ourselves, that someone would trust us enough to ask us to help carry the load? So that is my second point. Moses, the first point, Moses asked for help. The second point, God calls us to help carry the burden and live a life as an elder, that we are worthy of stepping up to help carry it. I'm actually going to stay within the area of mental health for most of this sermon, because I think this is an area that can be challenging, but it has touched most of our lives. When we see someone struggling with mental health, sometimes it is challenging to step up and help because we do not know what to do. Because we don't know what to do, or the situation may make us uncomfortable, we may not do anything at all. When we think about the broken arm, a broken arm is easy to know what to do. We can empathize with someone with a broken arm. Even if I've never had a broken arm before, I know the limitations of what someone might have from a broken arm. I can physically see the cast on their arm. And I know that there is an expectation that within about 8 weeks, that cast is going to be off and they're going to be returning to normal. Unfortunately, with mental health, it is not visible. Different conditions can have very different symptoms, and the same condition can have different symptoms for different people. And quite frankly, the goal may not be getting back to normal, but to find a new normal. All of that makes it more challenging to support and understand someone with a mental health issue, and it makes it even more challenging for someone with a mental health condition. If we are called to help carry the load, one of the first things we could do in this situation, when we see someone struggling, is simply ask them how they are doing and then be prepared to sit and listen. We are not called to have an answer. We are called to be present. When Moses gathered the elders, they came before the Lord and were present for Moses. They didn't have to do anything. God moved. God placed his spirit on each of the elders because they were present to help share that load with Moses. Maybe if we are present and listen, God may make it clear to us to know how to guide a person who needs help. We may be there to help listen to the Spirit and guidance from God, because when you are having a mental health issue, if you are having a bout of depression or are overwhelmed by anxiety, it can be incredibly challenging to hear the voice of God. Maybe we are called to sit and listen and help hear the voice of God. My last point. when we are struggling and need people to help carry the load, we need to let go and let them help. One of the hardest things when we are struggling may be to let others help us. We do not want to be seen as inadequate. When I had knee surgery in high school, God bless my mother as my caretaker. One of my biggest struggles was letting her help me. I remember one vivid moment where I blew up. I vividly remember one. I know there was more than one, but that's okay. Where I blew up at her because she was trying to help me do something that is typically a simple task, but not so simple several days after knee surgery. I remember she tried to do something for me that within my incapacitated state, it was something I could still do. And so I wanted to do it. And that's when I blew up. Reflecting back, it definitely would have been better if I would have just let my mother do it, and quicker, if I would have just let my mother do it, and for me to relinquish control. There are times when we have to give up responsibilities to prioritize our mental or even our physical health. And that is okay. But we have to allow ourselves to let go of control and let other people step in. Now, this one is probably preaching more to me than many of you, but one of the things I struggle with in letting go of responsibilities are because of actually several reasons. One, I don't want my responsibilities to be a burden on somebody else. Two, I become concerned that if I don't do them, then they won't get done at all. And the third one, and the one I'm least proud of, I become concerned that if I don't do them, they won't get done as well as if I were to just do it myself. However, if I'm holding responsibilities when I'm struggling because I don't want them to be a burden on someone else, guess what? They are a burden on me. And I am worthy enough for them not to be a burden on me. If I am worried that they won't get done at all if I don't do them, then maybe it's not important enough for them to get done because other people just may not care about that as much as I do. And the final one, if I am worried that it's not going to get done well enough as if I were to just do it myself, if I'm trying to do it while I'm struggling, probably I'm not going to do it as well as what I would normally. And with my personality, that's going to eat away at me even more so, causing me to struggle even more. All of this is to say one of the hardest things about sharing the load may be relinquishing control and allowing others to help. And yet it can be the most freeing and beneficial thing we can do. If you were to continue in the story of Moses beyond the scripture that we had for today, when Moses brought the elders to God, there were two elders still in the camp. And as the elders began to prophesy after the Spirit was placed on them, these two elders in the camp began to prophesy as well. And so people from the town became concerned, and they went to Moses and told him, hey, you got to get these two to stop prophesying. Moses says, why? Are you jealous for me? I wish everyone was prophesying. Moses was more than happy to let others share that load. He was more than happy to let others have that Holy Spirit rest on them, so that they could help share that burden. He let go of control. And through that process, quite frankly, it appears that he was relieved. What do you need help carrying right now? If you don't need help, who do you know that you see struggling? How can you help share their burden and help them carry their load? Let us pray. Lord, it is in our struggles that quite often we actually end up growing closer and closer. But Lord, sometimes in those struggles, it can be so challenging when we are in the midst to feel your spirit, to feel your presence. And Lord, I just ask that if there's anyone here who is struggling, whether that be mental health, whether that be physical health, whether it is a friendship, a loved relationship, a loved one, Lord, I just ask that you, first of all, make your presence known. Let your comfort be felt. Your love, your peace. But Lord, more importantly, I ask that you pour your spirit on the people in their lives. That Lord, you pour your spirit into each and every person that surrounds them, into their village, that they can help lift them up, that they can help share the load and share the burden. Lord, I ask that you give each of us the desire, the passion, the love for both you and for each other, that we want to help each other. That we want to help each other so that we can see each other at their fullest potential. Lord, help us. Help us amidst our struggles. Help us as we help each other. There is a phrase used, Lord, raise each of us up so that we can raise each other up. And Lord, that is my prayer for you this morning, for us this morning. Raise each of us up out of our struggle so that we can help raise each other up. In your name, we